All right, Cole. What are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, I've learned Braille.
Ooh.
Yeah. No, I've just been, so you've been using Duolingo.
Bilingual.
Yeah, kinda. It might still be English. Yeah, I'm not sure.
I said blind lingual.
Blind lingual, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No. So yeah, I just figure you never know when a power line's gonna snap and you're gonna get your top of your face melted. So you want to be ready, right? Yeah,
Sure.
you've been
And you don't want to
using
give up the written word.
no,
If there's no substitute for that.
absolutely not. There is no service where people speak the audio words of a book.
Nor is it automated
No.
and readily available on every computer since the year 2000.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Braille.
Yeah.
I don't actually mean that.
It is
Yeah.
a very strong stance being taken on Braille. No, so I've learned Braille, and I wanted to randomize some Braille. So I've got a gigantic sheet of metal and a claymore mine.
Oh, that sounds like it'll randomize some Braille.
Yes, it will. So I'm gonna pull this ripcord. Gary, put on these safety goggles. I only have one set, ironically.
God damn it, Cole.
What?
You have to be more specific. I swallowed him.
Oh no. Well,
Give me more.
if the claymore ricochet hits your belly, you're gonna be fine. No,
I guess that's true. I'm
I
just sitting
just
pretty.
yeah,
You're laughing.
just I guess just look away. Or I'm gonna
Okay.
pull the ripcord because I'm sure that's how claymores work. And oh, that was a real satisfying sound.
Sure.
So let me go up here and finger these bumps. It says, according to the Intergalactic Council's ruling,
I'm so bored. I'm so
XXT7.3.B,
bored.
Section 7, in the year
I am so
2140 AD,
so
all
bored.
intergalactic disputes must be settled by duel to the death. Wow, it just keeps going, huh? Yeah, it's a pretty big all duels represent the final and binding decision between the galaxies. Super something about trade routes, lots of traffic lanes,
No.
just an artificially intelligent dynamic com. Wow, this Claymore made some bullshit.
It did make some absolute horseshit.
Can you put that into the game computer and see what comes back?
I suppose. It's getting even boring to type it. Oh, God. Oh, okay. Oh, that did some stuff to my computer.
I'm
Uh-oh.
sure it did.
What the fuck's the feedback hub? Oh, no. Greetings. Showtimes for Regal Meridian 16. When does summer begin? Oh, no. Oh, no.
Gary, I think you made your computer stupid by hitting it.
User talk 26011C2. Okay, so this is a Wikipedia thing, which
Okay.
was the free. Okay, let me back. Okay, back several pages. Okay, I think I recovered.
Okay.
And it looks like it is Death Duel for the Genesis.
Okay.
I like this game.
Yeah, it's actually kind of okay.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah.
Yeehaw. This is Gary Butterfield,
This is Cole Ross.
and you're listening to Abject Suffering, and we will fucking shoot you. It's a new catchphrase I'm trying out for a little bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, see how that goes.
No, I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
You want to be assertive is the thing.
Warm. Warm and assertive.
You want to bring people in, not push them away.
Death Duel.
And people love intensity. Yeah, so this is Death Duel. It is a patron demand by Mitch, who says, I'm not really sure why my parents allowed me to play this game, but they did, and it was, for better or worse, formative.
Yeah, I think this is pretty good.
This is pretty good. I would have been all about this too, not just for the violence, but a young me, and I don't mean to make this immediately horny, would have been fascinated by the pixel art lady with the defined nipples.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She makes a similar joke often.
Yeah, about I hope this is formative for you. What?
No. What does she say when? Oh, is that a laser in your pocket? Or are you just happy to see me?
Oh yeah,
she
yeah.
says that joke a lot.
Yeah,
and it's like, hey teens, is your dick hard?
Because no. I need to make sure I'm doing my job.
Nobody cut that out as a ringtone, please. that's a bad one. But yeah, so a little lady, a lady comes out and is pixelated, and she's like, she's not topless. It's like they pixelated her, like nipping through her shirt.
Yeah, she's flashing her high beams. Yeah. So it's like a ring girl, right? Like she walks out and she holds up the round card or whatever, and makes a suggestive joke and then walks away. That was just my first observation my actual first observation was how boring the story behind this
is. The opening scrawl of this is extremely bad, but then your robot is very pleasingly clunky.
Yes,
like I am over robots. I never need to see another robot again. Mm-hmm. I hate them. I hate Max, but I think that if you're gonna have one, make it this kind of clunky dork instead of a svelte sexy robot.
Make it a
which
clank,
I never need to see again.
Make it a clank clank you're dead.
This is definitely like a clink clink you're dead robot.
Yes,
which I appreciate.
Absolutely.
And you fight monsters, which I'm not over.
No, I will never be over monsters. I feel like in terms of diversity and variety and novelty, monsters are they have a much wider gamut than robots do.
Oh yeah, every robot more or less looks the same to me.
Right.
Like, or it's like Mega Man or other. You know, or like Android, I guess. Like you can get the robots from Alien.
Right.
Aliens and stuff. Derek sent me a text of a picture he took from work. He works at a convenience store, and he shot it through the freezer case.
Okay.
And it was like one of those like life-size statues they make of the yellow M, like the idiot M&M, the Brad Garrett M&M that they make.
I think you mean the J.K. Simmons M&M, Gary.
The J.K. Simmons M&M. One of them is Brad Garrett, right?
No, it's J.K. Simmons and Billy West.
Oh, I thought one of them was Brad Garrett.
Nope.
But it looks like he's crying milk. It's really scary.
I mean, is it supposed to be, or is this some kind of like Virgin Mary statue miracle?
I think it's a miracle.
Okay, it might be a miracle.
He sent me a thing, just a picture of that, and he says, "This guy again." And I said, "Is he crying milk?" And he says, "I'm pretty sure it's android blood." And I said, "We made this android to fit into human society perfectly." And then that's the end of our discussion.
That is very good.
But it's a pretty scary picture.
If you can just slide that my direction.
Yeah, I can see now what it is now that I've like opened up a bigger version of it.
Okay.
It's a pattern that is on the he's shooting him. It's through a freezer case.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pattern that's on the door of the freezer case that lines up with his eyes to make it look like he's weeping milk.
I gotcha.
So I'll throw that into the Slack now.
This guy again.
Like, pretty funny. Derek is a funny man.
Yeah.
So anyway, robots are bad, but monsters are good. This robot is fine. The game itself is pretty fun. Like it is a weird first person kind of shooting light gun style game.
Yeah.
Like a dueling light gun game.
It is described as a first person shooter, like when you look it up, but that isn't exactly accurate. Like you stay in the same position. Yeah, like a light gun game would be a good comparison for it. Except you can kind of switch your cursor to be either like aiming within the screen or almost like moving or rotating. Because you have like just kind of this wide panorama of available stage, some of which is taken up with kind of like destructible cover.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're fighting these gigantic monsters, and kind of the goal is to defeat them, but they are made up of a bunch of different parts, and like the different parts are responsive. So like if you shoot the leg will go away and he'll just have like a bloody stump there.
Yeah, well I think you have to dismember.
Yes.
People generally for this, like it's like dead space or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like just shooting them in the head was not doing any damage until I started cutting off limbs and shit.
Mm-hmm.
Of the guy, and it actually changes their capabilities.
Yes.
in a really appealing way. Like if you, if the thing has wings, if you shoot off its wings, it can't fly anymore. So it's easier to hit.
Mm-hmm.
Things like that. So there's like kind of more strategy to this than you might imagine.
Yes.
Which I like.
Yeah. Or, you think that you're going to give yourself an advantage. Like, okay, there's a guy and he's got some legs and he's moving around. And you think, okay, I'm going to shoot off his legs. Because, his top half is kind of cycling in and out of being kind of spiky and in cover or whatever. Mm-hmm. But you shoot off his legs and boom, they're replaced with rockets and he's moving even faster.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. Or the things grow back.
Yeah.
And there's no hinting about that.
No. it's not necessarily clear, but like the joy is in being surprised, right? Like,
yeah.
Oh, I didn't expect that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little, yeah. It's not, it's not perfect. It's a little trial and error, but mm-hmm. it is fun mm-hmm. to shoot off thing, to watch blood and bits and stuff fly off these monsters.
Yeah.
And you have limited ammo, so there's like some strategy to it.
Yes.
You can't just shoot and everything is a projectile, nothing is hit scan.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to lead your shots. And the enemy can dodge and can kind of duck behind cover and stuff.
Yeah. And your different guns are kind of aligned with the different side of the screen. So that mm-hmm. actually will, affect like the leading of the shot or like, will it get around this piece of cover?
Like which maps to the controller.
Yeah.
Which is like, I think this is one of the few games I think actually takes advantage of the Genesis's weird controller that never really gets commented on.
Right.
But like a three button all on a line with like the middle button a little bit higher. It's very rare that anything does anything with that.
Right.
And the I feel like the Genesis never quite like had a standard A jumps, B shoots kind of scenario.
No.
Like
I
remember playing a lot of game where like A would bring up a menu, but sometimes A would be confirm.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes A would be action and B would be jump instead of C and B, which is what you would expect.
Yeah.
It's the Genesis controller is extremely weird.
Yeah. It's especially a nightmare if you're trying to map it onto a regular kind of cross button controller.
Yeah.
Modern day, like an Xbox 360 controller or whatever, just because there is no standard, like, okay, like what I think of as jump could actually be like weirdly mapped to the Y button in this. So you have to kind of take it on a game by game basis, which always throws you off.
Yeah. I usually will just map it to the top three.
Yeah.
Buttons and just kind of try to conform myself to whatever the game wants.
Yeah.
But they didn't, if they didn't standardize, it does make it more difficult.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And it's that weird shape too.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I feel like, Super Nintendo, I got the, my, SNES Classic,
mm-hmm.
That I played, something on recently. And the, that is kind of the beginning of good controllers to me.
Yeah,
the
Genesis, for as much as I liked playing it, like the actual buttons and the D-pad are all incredibly
good.
Incredibly mushy is the thing. Even outside of like the weird kind of semi-batarang shape, the buttons and the D-pad are just really, really mushy. However, mm-hmm. on the other side of that, I've recently been kind of like reorganizing and putting my old systems in totes. Mm-hmm. Just because the way I had them organized before was a nightmare. The Sega Saturn standard controller, like the six button one, an incredibly good controller.
That's the one that's the big disc.
No, you're thinking of you're thinking of the analog one that was shipped with Nights into Dreams. Certain versions of it, so you could play Knights with an analog controller. No, like the standard one that was like a sleeker Genesis controller, but it had shoulder buttons and it had six face buttons. Incredibly snappy and incredibly satisfying to use.
Good. Yeah, that sounds I end up liking the Genesis in spite of its shitty controller.
Oh yeah.
And it still ends up being the best controller for an Atari, weirdly enough.
Oh yeah. it is the one Atari controller that will not fucking destroy your wrist after a half hour of play.
Yep. So you kind of just go monster by monster. This is, I've talked about how categorizing abject suffering games into games I quit because they're like hateful and bad, or games I quit because I get bored.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one I quit because I got bored. Like, it's relatively fun, but I was just kind of like, oh, I get it.
Yeah.
And also I could just keep playing this because it's like relatively fun. And instead I have to stop and record.
Yeah. Yeah.
I
also kind of ran out of time with it. I would have liked to have got, I just want to see more monsters kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me too. Weirdly, this kind of falls in a similar lane to Chiller, actually, in terms of being a console based, cursor shooter, that shows you a variety of gory imagery.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know that this is the third Razorsoft game we've done?
Published. Yeah. So they did Technocop. Yeah. I know. What's the other one they did?
Because Slaughter Sport, which is the Genesis port of Tongue of the Fat Man.
Ah, shit. Yeah.
So it's like the Razorsoft. And I feel like just kind of looking at the different games they've done.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's no reason we should not do Stormlord, which I don't know anything about Stormlord, but I bet you.
I mean,
just based, like, it looks cool.
We're just going on the name. Yeah. No, Stormlord caught my eye because, like, that is the same actual developer as this.
Yeah.
So it's not just a publisher relationship.
And then Jerry Glanville's Pigskin Foot Brawl.
Immediately?
Okay. Yeah, I feel like.
Can we break and play that and make this episode about that now?
Like, I just feel like, yeah, a pigskin foot brawl. And the cover, the splash screen for Jerry Gladwell's or Pigskin Foot Brawl is a little digitized picture of whoever Jerry Glanville is or whatever. A football, and then an orc from off screen kind of like Simba-ing, like holding Simba up to the, you know, trying to catch the ball, but just like reaching off from off screen while like this godly Mustafa-esque Jerry Gladwell or whatever looks down on him.
Yeah.
It's pretty great looking. Like, I don't know. I feel like this would be a good, like, this developer would be a good one to close out.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Publisher, rather.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that was also developed by Razorsoft as well. So
yeah, and I need to know who Jerry Glanville is or whatever.
Yeah, Jerry Glanville. I've never heard of Jerry Glanville either, but he's definitely getting top billing in a way that, like, you know, like Madden kind of thing.
See, my worry would be that it ends up being like a Wade Hickston's Counterpunch kind of deal.
Sure.
That's the problem. Like, I think I'm going to be walking into somebody's storied biography, and instead, no, I just get.
I feel like in Pigskin Foot Brawl, we won't be walking into a biography. There are orcs on the cover.
Okay, yeah.
He's a coach, and he is credited for the famous phrase "NFL means not for long."
I mean, I think it's pretty well established what it means. Is he being darkly glib about the devastating health effects of playing professional football?
I think he's being darkly glib about bad calls that refs make.
Oh,
but I haven't read the entirety of the. So this game is fun and good. I think that it is would not be better on a light gun, weirdly enough. I think this is a rare game where, like, moving a cursor around with a D-pad makes more sense.
Yeah.
A light gun would make it both kind of too easy to hit, and two, you'd lose those ammo types.
Yes.
Things. Unless you use, like, left hand with your controller to choose ammo types and right hand to shoot or something, which might work. Like, you might be able to do something like that. But as is, I think this is kind of a good, you know, Operation Wolf-like.
Yes. I was actually kind of shocked because you load this up and you see not just the intro scroll, but like the design of the characters and kind of the general level of violence. Like, this has, this has the stink of like an Amiga game that was ported to the Genesis. Apparently not. Like, this was just a straight up Genesis creation. Yeah.
Yeah. And it also has that transmedia stink.
Ooh, yeah.
Which it doesn't have, but it feels like this should have a tie-in comic.
Yes.
You know, in a way that it doesn't. Instead of just having the story, which is, you know, again, we mentioned extremely boring, about trade routes and the like. Did you get to the end game of this?
No, I did not.
Did you die?
I ran out of like tries on like the chestnut guy, weirdly enough.
Did you see the ending screen? Like,
no.
Like when you die?
No, I didn't.
Oh, it is phenomenal.
What is it?
So you die. Screen fades to black. White text says, "You're eliminated, you spineless worm." Then we get a silhouetted scene of your character in a junk heap with the Grim Reaper standing next to them.
Wait a minute, they have a Reaper?
They have a Reaper that shows the Reaper. The Reaper has long flowing hair, which I think is weird.
Okay.
And then it shows your home planet, and a text scrolls from the bottom of the screen that says this. "Your defeat has brought chaos to the Federation. Your cowardice and betrayal shall be known throughout the stars. Your decaying corpse will be an object of ridicule and scorn. Disgrace will follow your family for centuries. Once adored and worshipped by all, your rotting flesh will serve as a reminder of the price of failure. Oh, the horrible pain of defeat."
Oh, Shadowrun step us, or not Shadowrun, Shadowgate step aside. I think we have a new champion for described deaths.
It's extremely, it's like the after effects of the death. It's so extremely good.
Yeah,
I mean, like rotting flesh will serve as a reminder of the price of failure.
Oh, this isn't just about the cessation of your life. This is about your legacy.
I kind of mentioned your family.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also you have a family?
Yeah, apparently you're like, you know, just like tiny, like one little toaster. your wife is a roomy hot water heater.
Yeah, you've got a shitty little scooter as a son.
Yeah, a little Bart.
Yeah,
scoot around, little Sonic. Yeah. Zoom, zoom, man. Go fuck himself. I'm off the duel.
Yeah, Daddy's got to bring home the bacon.
Another thing that happened with this when I was looking into it, that kind of is that there's a really great bit of GameFAQs Gold that I'm not convinced we haven't read before.
You're talking about Dalton of Zeal, right?
Sure. Yeah. Does that ring a bell to you? Have we done Dalton of Zeal before? Because if not, he's a bonanza.
Oh,
like he's not Grammatical King Bonanza, but he's very special.
Grammatical King has a focus in a way that I don't think we're ever going to see again.
It's a once in a lifetime treat.
Yeah. Yeah. We cannot hold everything to the Grammatical King standard. No, I recognize Dalton of Zeal, like just by the opening, you think, okay, yeah, this is definitely somebody we've seen. He's reviewed other games that we have covered. So yeah. I have to think that we have at least called him out, specifically looking down the road here.
We've done Taboo the Sixth Sense, right?
No, we have not done Taboo, yeah. But we've done Adventure Island.
We've done Kid Chameleon.
Yes.
I think. So that could be, you know, where we run into him.
Yeah, we've done TNC Surf Designs. We've done Total Recall, I believe.
I think so too.
Yeah, Total Recall. I think might have been the place where we would have run into Dalton of Zeal.
And I'm certain that I got mad at him for saying that Vanguard Bandits is better than Final Fantasy Tactics.
Yeah, I think so. Probably
that sounds like the kind of thing I could be very mad about, because I have played that game and it is not better.
No. So I think that Dalton of Zeal, you know, really stood out to me on the list, even because when somebody has a Square Enix screen name, you know that there's going to be some bullshit going on in there.
Yeah.
So that's already working against it. But this review opens.
Yeah, which we may have. I just want to mention we may have read this before.
Yes.
But I still want to do it again because it's really special. Like, and not the whole thing. It's like 7,000 words.
No. And it quickly gets boring.
Yeah. But the opening is something else.
Yeah. I'll let you do the honor since you brought it up.
All right. The title of the review is, "You ever wanted to blow off a dragon's head with balled up trash? Here's your chance." Which is, like, it's already like a lot going on there. Like, you know where this balled up trash is? Like, way to own bullets. what a brutal drag on the concept of fire, like, or, you know, lasers.
Yeah. You know? I mean, people say that the Mona Lisa is made, you know, is a work of art, but all I see is a bunch of matter that a star shit out a billion years ago.
Who gives a fuck? Yeah. Like, people in Chicago shooting each other with balled up trash. Like, what are you mad at? Like, what are you, like, what is your perspective, Dalton? Yeah,
what would you like to see change, Dalton?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. Whenever somebody is that dismissive, what do you want to see change?
It's very weird. So yeah. Dalton continues. "From the creator of Slaughter Sport comes Death Duel. Talk about a winning phrase, huh? Cricket, cricket. Okay, maybe not. That's like saying, from the bowels of hell comes the Tom Arnold show." In fact, taking credit for creating Slaughter Sport anywhere in your advertisement or other media is like branding a swastika or a 666 on your forehead.
One of those is worse than the other. Sorry, continue.
People are going to stay as far away as possible and or send an exorcist after you. Heck, telling people you played Slaughter Sport may be grounds for immediate flogging and or execution. So this is this guy's kind of steez. And then there's like 6,000 more words.
Well, I mean, we need to get into the biography here. "This, my friends, is why I was a little skeptical after opening up my Christmas present ever so long ago and seeing a Genesis game I had never heard of labeled Death Duel. Even worse was the aforementioned phrase I saw on the back of the case. but I was in front of my family, and it's the thought that counts, right? They knew I liked games and that I liked games with robots, so they picked it up due to the robot on the front. Yeah, like everything that you're describing lines up.
Yeah, well, there's a paragraph break here that should not be. Right. And I decided to give it a try instead of returning it for cash and torching the game store which sold it, then pillaging the owner's home and eating his children and his grandma. So he's like this kind of dude.
Yeah, no, like he's very much like on that Control-Alt-Disease. I about said Control-Alt-Disease.
I thought you were going to say Control-Alt-Disney.
Yeah, no, just he's really on that Control-Alt-Delete-Steeze.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No thanks.
No.
Yeah.
Nah. It also features the RazorSoft trademark, a fat, ugly man.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah, no, Dalton, and then it just goes on. Let's see here. The game comes closest to a story. What? The closest the game comes to a story is found in a little sign in the weapon shop, which displays messages like "Bite me, no pain, no gain," and my favorite, "Touch my monkey." Oh, right.
I think the closest it comes to a story is the 70 million years of prelogue about the bylaws of dueling in the future.
Yes. A lot of serial numbers laid out. Yeah. Hey, Dalton. Yep. Hey, Dalton. I gotta take issue with your detective work there. Yeah.
It's also he bolds. Like not randomly, but like the things he bolds don't necessarily make sense. Like Control, it's good, but it's also a little confusing at first.
Yes, voice modulation. As I mentioned before,
this game makes use of two crosshairs. you know, so it's like kind of like you can scan it, but not really.
Yeah, graphics 8 out of 10, quite good actually. The opponents are big with easy to see wings on. I can understand that in short form text, you know, like I've written like that for emphasis. Sure. But in a 7,000 word thing, no, sorry. Try again. I do like the junk shop in between stages. I also like the shooting gallery. I like the shooting gallery quite a bit.
In between stages, you do a shooting gallery. You have to qualify for the next round. And it's fun.
Yeah.
You have unlimited bullets, but you're still dealing, like, this is a real, like, this game would never work with Hitscan.
No.
This is like not pre-Hitscan, because, you know, Hitscan is very early, but this is a Hitscan only.
This was made before bullets moved fast.
Yeah, exactly. I don't mean to cut us off from that, but I had a Twitter window open because I'm online and I'm a human and stuff. And I follow the Dogs Being Jerks Twitter account.
Okay.
And this big dog walked out with this little dog in a box, squatted over and just peed on him. Like squatted on this dog literally while he's just like lying there.
That's a real dominance play, isn't it?
It's extremely alpha. Like he just and the little dog like tries to bite him and stuff, and then he just like dismisses him.
Right.
Gets over him, squats. He's on his like head and back. The little dog leaves. The big dog walks off like nothing just happened. It's really, really weird what the politics of this are. You know? Just trying to understand the movers and shakers in the scenario.
To a think piece.
Yeah. real weird. But anyway, yeah, it was before bullets moved fast. So at least in video games, like it feels like that, you know, became the standard later.
No, I think it was definitely, before bullets moved fast in real life.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They used to be very slow. You could dodge them.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't you think that would make life more fair?
If bullets were like they maxed out at Nerf ball speed,
even slower.
Okay.
Like I think you should have to plan a lot to shoot somebody, and maybe distract them while the bullet's in the air.
I enjoy that. I like that quite a bit. How would they still be deadly? Like, is it like a so? Well, is it a fly? Like you know. Like a flying snitch that explodes but moves at 2 miles per hour.
I think it moves about the same as like a reasonable walk.
Okay.
Speed, and when it hits, it still just has the same force as a regular bullet.
Okay.
It just burrows into you. You know, but once it's in you, or maybe it only speeds up once it tastes blood.
Oh yeah.
So it gets you, and then it shoots. You know?
So I think that it would like you would end up with almost like a landmine situation, right? So many bullets would be fired that are still in progress Because, yeah. If it's moving that slow, a thing that stops a bullet from going forever is that they fall, you know, like they
hit something and it slows them down.
Well, I mean, yeah.
No, so they get lodged in something.
Yeah. But like, you know, if you fire a bullet just, you know, like across an empty field for miles and miles and miles, it is going to, it, you know, it's
eventually
gonna,
falls.
Yeah. It's going to hit the ground. It falls at the same rate as every single object. So if you drop a bullet at the same time you fire it, they're going to hit the ground roughly at the same time, at least in the vacuum.
This far apart.
Yeah. But if it's moving that slow, there is something helping it stay aloft. So does it also does it also fall off? Because what you end up having is a bunch of bullets that are just in extremely low Earth orbit. moving out of walk.
Yeah. I was thinking they wouldn't fall. And maybe it would be like the job of somebody who's a good person to walk around with a tennis racket, like batting them down to the ground.
But then, there'd be explosions. Like they would taste that
blood. No explosion. And then once they taste blood, they move fast. They don't explode. They turn into a regular bullet. But you can knock one on the ground. You can just kind of push it.
Okay.
You know, out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, and also if somebody shoots you and you notice it, you could take the bullet and grab it in the air and then turn it around and point it back at them. And then after a couple like minutes,
like the end of Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that'd just be fair.
Yeah, no, I think that would definitely, it would definitely change the face of warfare. Would that also be the case for, let's say bombs and artillery?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Cool. Everything just like, once it's in the air, it's fucking slow time, you know? And just, and no, but wait a minute.
Like how would Max Payne work?
You go really slow. Okay. Like bullet time would be so slow.
It would be imperceptible. You'd be like the cloud in Braid.
Yeah, you would turn into a tree. Yeah. Like it would just be Max Payne would be very different. Or Max Payne is fictional.
Okay.
Max Payne bullets could work regular.
Oh, so you know? Like the impressive thing about Max Payne isn't that you can slow the bullets down, it presupposes a world in which the bullets move incredibly fast unless you impose the actual order
reality upon them.
Yes.
You know, like Max World, like Max Payne
Max World.
came from Max World. He came from our world to like, you know, into the world of Noir York City or whatever.
Yes.
Also, I mean, I know this is me being flighty and stuff, but you have to forgive me. I had a pretty good, and I know we've been recording for a little bit, so we can be quick about this. I had a pretty good aside plan for this episode.
Okay.
And totally forgot because I was tired. Yesterday, I have a new neighborhood menace. There's a across the street from me, there's a parking lot for another apartment building. And then across from that, there is a school. And it's a night high school, but they have a football field, like a football soccer field. I was walking home yesterday and a bunch of teens were hanging out in the parking lot of it, revving their engine and just creating huge billowing clouds of noxious smoke.
Oh, right. No.
Tons of it. He peeled out. It is, a Mustang, a red Mustang that on the side written, in duct tape is Frankenstang. So my neighborhood's got a Frankenstang, Cole.
Oh no!
I've got this noxious smoke puking Frankenstang.
I mean, is he targeting you? Like,
he's targeting the neighborhood.
Okay.
It was definitely something where he was just revving to make the whole fucking outside stink.
Right. So
it smelled like poison.
Well, I mean, outside. So was he doing burnouts? Throwing rubber?
He was just kind of like putting it in neutral and then just spinning wheels.
Okay.
You know, or just like, or just fucking up his engine.
Yeah. Just yeah. That's a problem that solves itself is the thing.
Yeah. Frankenstein is not long for this world, but I kept thinking about a bunch of cars pulling up to him with torches. Or like, I was trying to think of something with Frankenstein, like how I would end this noble beast. And then I was also thinking if this is Frankenstein and then there's a smaller car that's Frankenstein's monster. Like an RC car.
Yep. No, just he runs off into the wilderness and like a tiny little like Barbie power wheel like shows him some compassion.
Yeah. I was very shocked. And the reason why I even noticed it, other than there just being a stink, is because my phone died.
Okay.
And I got like sucked into the real world because I couldn't listen to a podcast while I was walking.
Oh,
all of a sudden it's like I have to pay attention to things around me. And then I noticed Frankenstein.
Oh no.
You know? It was like from beyond. Like, if I can see it, it can see it. You know?
Yeah. Gary, there are Frankensteins just phasing through you at every moment, is the thing.
Totally. Yeah. Really, and Hatch Baculas? You know, there could be all kinds of this shit.
Yeah. They're out there. I mean, just like, maybe, you know, monster cars, for fuck's sake.
Monster,
man.
Trucks. Yeah, monster trucks. Frankensteins, Hatch Baculas.
Yeah. I had a phrase in my head that just was incredibly satisfying, and I wanted to make a tweet about it. Count Truckula. But the thing is, sure, that's like a character in like Cars 2 or whatever.
It's probably.
Yeah, it's a thing. So and you can't.
Truckula, I think, is.
What's that?
I think I've heard Truckula before.
Mm.
Well, so Venture Brothers has Truckules.
Mm, okay.
Who is great. And then, what is the Truckula? I feel like I've seen a Truckula before.
Mm, yeah.
Yeah, it would definitely be one of those things that's like worth a couple Googles before.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm happy that I do that diligence, but also like it really sucks the wind out of my sails, because the reality of the Truckula that exists does not match the grandeur of Count Truckula in my head, because he goes around like sucking out all the motor oil from different cars.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah. Siphons.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a bunch of shitty teens who need to gas up their VW Bug are actually Truculas.
Yeah.
Trucula, the slammed Chevy dually, has been into my to build list.
Ugh.
Oh, it's a guy who makes Lego trucks. He made a Lego truck named a Trucula.
Hmm. Good for him.
Nice, very tough. 911. Someone says it on that.
Never forget. You're okay?
You're like, that's not your phone, right? Like, you got a home invaded while commenting on this guy's fucking Flickr account. No one is coming to save you.
Sir, this is not the police.
Yeah. There's also a Facebook account for Joe Truckula Hernandez, who in parentheses says Count Truckula.
Okay.
And it's exclusively pictures of cars.
Okay. Good. So this is adjacent to GameVac's goal, but the from around the web links, I wish that those didn't work as well as they do on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just usually it's a picture of somebody's foot. It's a picture of a nasty looking fruit that looks like an eviscerated dong.
Yeah, you can't believe who eats this, that kind of thing.
Right, right. There's one here at the bottom of GameFAQs. It is a picture of a shoe with some pennies on it, and it says, "More parents are now gluing pennies to the bottoms of their kids' shoes," which is just a description of a madman's behavior.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So I clicked it, and this is a gigantic page full of ads, but it says, "Hacks parents swear by." And I guess they're doing this to make sure that you can know where your kids are so they can't sneak up on you.
Weird.
Yeah.
Super weird.
Yeah. Oh shit. Oh no. And now it's just this is not just an article. No, it is it's a slideshow. Fuck the internet.
I was thinking they would put pennies on there just so they could do like cheap taps.
Yes. Well, you want your kid to be a star, don't you?
Yeah, that's why it was my thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anywho, some reason, I don't have those at the bottom of my game facts. And just different ad blocking or whatever.
Possibly. Also, I think I'm using a deprecated ad blocker. That
could be the case.
Yeah, it stopped working and I never updated it.
Yeah.
Oh, well. No,
nothing with that.
Yeah.
Did Mitch suggest this?
Yes.
Thank you, Mitch.
Thank you. I'm happy to know about this game.
Absolutely. Into it. If you want to suggest a game, you can go to the Out of Suffering website for that. Right?
Yes, you can. So if you want to suggest a game, and those come up randomly on our premium episodes, go to abjectsuffering.com and look for suggest in the header. If you want to demand a game, you can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Mm-hmm. And tell your friends, rate and review.
Please do.
We appreciate it.
Yeah.
And that's probably about it.
Think so.
Yeah. So until next time, who will stop Frankenstein?
Who is Stang Dog?
Who's still...
Thank you.
say stank dog.
I know, but I don't like stank. Doesn't that sound like pussy? Like somebody's trying to make a like something's, you know, just like, do you want to, like, on your way out, would you like to wet your stank? Yeah, it doesn't sound like that to me.
Yeah, it sounds a little unseemly.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Yeah. No, sir, I don't like it.